Thank you, brother. What an encouraging message. What an evangelist. Sometimes we don't understand what that word means. It's just a messenger. Dennis asked me earlier, where's that one about some planted, some watered, God adds the increase? That's what we all do. If you think, you know, we're going to teach how to save somebody, can't do that. God does the saving. I can teach how to plant. I can teach how to water. But I can do that a lot better by having you come, and we'll do it together. Trying to tell somebody how to build a suit. Pretty difficult. How do you build a suit on a treadle sewing machine? That's even more difficult. How do you build a custom suit in 2 days on a treadle sewing machine? You better come to Haiti with me. I'll introduce you to Brother Canis. You can sit down with him and he'll show you how to build this suit in 2 days. Amen? So sometimes Dan would always say, you know, to go the way, you have to know the way, and we'll show you the way. So Andy had a real good message on that about being in the Word. That's number one. You got to be in the Word. You got to devour it. So some practical stuff. I think there's like maybe 25 books in the Bible that have 5 chapters or less. 10 in the Old Testament, about 14, 15 in the New. And maybe you just start out by saying, you know, I'm going to recommit just to knock off these little 5-chapter books. Even a slow reader like me, who can't pronunciate very good, can read them probably in a half an hour. And someone says, hey, Andy, how you doing? Hey, Jeff, how you doing? She's like, okay, hey, what have you been up to? Is that not how our conversations go? Well, you know, just recently, I've been going through those 5-chapter books in the Bible. What a lead-in. Who's not going to say, oh, really? Which ones? Or I didn't know about the 5-chapter books. Like, yeah, last night I read one, was only 1 chapter. It was only like 18 verses. You're kidding me. You read a whole book, 18 verses? That might open up that door for evangelism. That's maybe a how-to, but you just got to live it. It's not just about mimicking or regurgitating something. So we're going to run through some basics today, some old stuff, old school. But for some of us, it's going to be brand new and fresh. So Matthew 28, 19 and 20, I think that's what it's all about. And if you're a Bible scholar, it's the Great Commission. And people have argued back and forth, well, you know, was that just for the apostles? Was it for everybody? And I think when people get in that argument, you're trying to get a scapegoat. Like, well, that surely wasn't for me. He was just talking to Andy and Tim. Well, I'm come down to this. I believe that was just for the apostles. But hold on. You know, don't get too nervous. But then he says, for them to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So if the apostles taught 5 people and taught them to obey everything, and they taught 10 people and taught them to obey everything, by the time it got to us, we should have been taught to obey everything. So therefore, we have to go. So let's see how that reads. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. We got that last part down. Don't worry, God's going to be with you to the end of the age. Dan would say, you've chopped up the scripture. You've done a smorgasbord. You just can't take that last part. Oh, don't worry, God's going to be with you always. No! He'll only be with you if you're doing the above, always. Sorry if I ruined your day. God's not with you always if you were just living in sin. You go to a brothel. I think that's when you and Jesus just rip apart because he's not going inside. You're dealing drugs. I think that's when you just rip up that relationship with you and God. You're beating on your wife. You've just ripped up that relationship with you and God. He's not going to be with you always unless he's whooping on you. He'll be with you always when you live the life. When you wear it, not just something you put on, but you put it on permanently. It becomes that second skin. Now another heartbreaker for you, Matthew 10 and verse 32. And these are from the kid that was really not that good in high school, in college. And the first thing I ask every teacher I ever went to daily, is that going to be on the test? Is that going to be on the test? Because I just wanted to pay attention. If you're just blah, 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 Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. Is that going to be on the test? You know, I'm going to pay attention. This one's on the test. Matthew 10, verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. We best be about acknowledging Christ. Just as simple as what Chris did. And I think of that, and some scriptures come to mind. You know, this nephew Matt's been having a difficult time. And, you know, maybe there's a lot of contact there that they've had with him. But I remember when the disciples went out and they couldn't cast out this demon. And Jesus says, "Oh, yeah, that one's got to come out by prayer and fasting." And so the other day, Chris and Deb prayed and fasted and opened the door. Word of God speak. Word of God is not going to return void. Our message is just to go out and do it. So Matthew 10:32, we have to acknowledge Christ. And I don't think it's a one-time thing. I believe Jesus is the Christ. That's the start. That's the launch. But daily, how you doing? What have you been up to? Hey, I've been reading them 5-chapter books. They're crazy. It's just really wild, man. It's like they were written yesterday. Start that conversation. Where are you going Wednesday? Oh, I'm busy. You're busy. Nonsense. You're going to study. You're going to fellowship. Where are you going Tuesday or Thursday? Hey, we got this great group. Why don't you come? We need to be involved and we need to confess Christ daily. Or He won't confess us. Luke 13:22, I think, really shows a lot how Jesus lived, how He expects us to live. And then we're going to see it in others. So Luke chapter 13 and verse 22 talks about the narrow door here. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as He made His way to Jerusalem. Someone asked Him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as He made His way to Jerusalem. As you go. That's called as you go evangelism. So many people have this idea, I'm going to go to Liberia, Africa, and preach the good news. And on the way, I'm going to be obnoxious and mean and rude. And when I get to the airport, if my tickets are mixed up or my bag doesn't come, I'm just going to be demanding because I got to go. And I'm going to cut people off in traffic. But then when I get there, I'm going to be, oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Jesus said, as He went. So every day, and sometimes it just comes back at you. I mean, I love to go in, and a common thing I do, and I try to be truthful and live it out, is people say to you, "Hey, how you doing?" A lot of times I'll come back with, "Hey, I'm blessed and forgiven, and today I recognize it." Happens every day. But you know, there's a lot of days Jeff doesn't recognize that. And I'll be kind of moping along, and you know, my wife can say it without even saying words. You're like, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm happy. Well, tell your face." You know, she doesn't say that. You're like, "Hey, Jeff, how's it going?" And she can just give this like, "Why don't you tell your face that?" And she never says those words. But I'm blessed and forgiven. So I laid that on the gal at Burger King. It must have been 4 or 5 months ago, because it was before I went to Haiti. And she comes back with me, "Oh, wow, that's really cool. You know, that really does happen every day." She says, "You know, I used to pray for patience and strength." And she says, "But now I just pray for patience. I don't pray for strength anymore." I said, "Really, why not?" She said, "Oh, if I got strength, I'd have to get bail money too." So sometimes it's just kind of in community. Isn't that true? You know, if God gave us too much strength, we might have to, "God, could you give me a little bail money too?" So leave that to God. Leave that retribution to God. Pray for patience and just allow God to avenge anything that might be going wrong. You don't have to pray for strength. He's going to get us through that if we use that strength in the wrong direction anyways. Okay, then Matthew 10:7. And I realize I'm skipping around back and forth, but if you give me an hour and 40 minutes, I'd slow down a bunch. Matthew 10:7. And we can continue this later on. As you go. Here we see it again. As you go. It's like He's told us to go already in Matthew 28. Go into all the world. So now He just assumes if the Creator of the universe asks you to do something, you ought to be on your way. So now He's giving further instructions as you go. Understanding that if God asks you to go, well, we're going to be doing it daily. So as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. We'd all ought to be doing that. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, and freely give. Wow. That one's got to be for the apostles. Casting out demons, healing, miracles. I don't think I have the miraculous gift to cast out demons. I can guarantee you how to get a demon out of somebody's life. Guaranteed. I can guarantee you how to get an evil spirit out of someone's life. They need to fill it with the Holy Spirit. They can't coexist. Now, we may not have the miraculous gift that the apostles had, but we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we'd ought to have seen the change in us. And I guarantee you, if the Holy Spirit lives in your worst enemy, He's become your best friend. What's not to like? When someone really makes that change, that person that was really just really against you is now for you. So if someone has that evil spirit, and we're bold enough to share the gospel with them, that Holy Spirit's going to come in there and evil spirit's gone. Evil spirit will not live where the Holy Spirit is. It cannot live where the Holy Spirit is. We need to know the way to share that love with people and give them that guarantee, that release of bondage, how to heal that brokenness. We have that power to be that messenger. We have that power to help people restore relationships, to heal wounds. And as I thought about that message, when, not if, when you've been broken in your life, I've been there a few times in my life, when you really mucked up a relationship, would you sooner have that relationship healed? Or let's say you had a broken arm, or would you sooner have the broken arm healed? I mean, if it was a close relationship, man, I'd take that relationship any day. I'd mend that relationship any day. I'd live with a broken arm. Only the gospel can do that. Only the good news of Christ can perform that miracle to bring healing and forgiveness and restoration. That's good news. As you go, we need to deliver that message. And that message sometimes has to have feet to it. How many of you people get a week off from work? If you work, I think everybody gets a week off. Almost everybody, unless you're part-time. I feel for you. Some get 2 weeks. Have you ever called in sick because you're just sick of a situation? I have. I was just sick that one of my brothers and sisters was hurting. I called in and took a day off work. Have you ever taken a week off work to help restore a marriage? And I worked at a great place that allowed me to do that. But when they knew that I just called up and said, hey, by the way, I'm going to Atlanta, Georgia, need to take a week off, they knew I wasn't going to Six Flags. But how invested are we into saving marriages? That's where it really meets there. Someone's hurting, and it's like, oh, they're this and that, and they're rotten, and just, just eating, and you eat yourself up. And how about we just say, stop! Why don't you be like Christ? Why don't you take the blame? Just recently I did that, and somebody did, and they offered this olive branch, and the other person took the olive branch and broke it off. I'm like, what is wrong with you? I saw the two people fussing and fighting to the point where they got out of the car and wouldn't ride with each other. I'm like, whoa, what's, you know, and I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, well, you know, it's, and then they'll usually tell you, if you shut up, you know, they'll just kind of talk to you. I'm like, well, how about you just be like Christ and take the blame? So they did. And I just said, you know what, I'm sorry. Well, yeah, but we're going to have to talk about it. If somebody gives you an olive branch, don't break it off and say, yeah, we have to talk about it. Jesus didn't do that. When we repent, He forgives us completely. It's not, yeah, but. As you go, bring that message of hope. It's a daily thing. Deny yourself daily and pick up the cross. Daily, not just on Sunday, not just for camp. Speaking of taking a week off, I know there's many of you who've taken a week off to go to camp. Not to play at camp, but to be servants at camp. Investing in, oh, these young kids are just so rotten. What are you doing about it? What if you signed up for camp and helped them? What if you just taken a canoe trip with someone? What if you just taken a kid fishing? And at the same time, tell them about the love of Christ. What if you become a dad to a kid who doesn't have a dad? As you go. What if you take a young lady shopping? Instead of just talking about, oh, I don't like how she dresses. Take her shopping. And get over yourself. She probably doesn't like how you dress. It's not all about you. Now let's move along just a little bit into the heart of the message. Acts the 8th chapter. We're going to camp on this one big time. So those of you who haven't been turning, I wish you would turn now to Acts the 8th chapter. We're going to talk about a guy named Philip. He's a busy guy. If you think you're busy, he's busier. So Acts the 8th chapter. This is one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. It just answers so many questions. And then I was young and trying to learn how to share the gospel with Christ. I wish I'd have known more about this text. So in Acts the 8th chapter, we start out, there was a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. So the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And everybody else did what? They goad. I wonder why they goad. Because they probably didn't go before when God asked them to go. And think about that. If it takes a great persecution to get you going, wouldn't you sooner have just got going before God had to persecute? I don't know, and I'm not saying God did the persecuting, but He wanted His message to go to all the nations. It wasn't happening. They're all just chilling in Jerusalem. Now you start whooping on people and beating them, and they figure, yeah, we ought to mosey on to Samaria. And as they went, they spoke the word. So godly men buried Stephen, whom Paul was responsible for killing. And Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Amazing. Now Philip, who was he? Well, he was one of the guys in Acts 6 that was one of the seven. I think Andy talked about this not too long ago. I remember a message where these widows were complaining they weren't getting their amount of food and the other widows were getting more. And so pretty soon, Satan was winning. Because the apostles were neglecting the word of God and shepherding, and they were waiting on tables. And as both of them are important, but the fact that the word of God and the shepherding wasn't getting done. So they choose from among you seven. I don't know why they picked seven. They figured seven could handle a couple thousand women that were hungry. You know, I don't know. So they choose seven people known to be full of the Spirit. And Philip was one of them. And as I read in the Word, I try to figure it out. And I always step back a little bit and try to digest that Word. I wonder how long that committee went. I wonder if they went in the committee for 2 years. And then they had this list and they checked it. And it's called vetting. You know, well, we don't want to choose this guy. You know, he's got a background. And, you know, the other camp was going to complain about him. Well, we're going to wait. And 6 months later, we're looking at this guy. No, he had a problem with gambling in his past days. And what about that? I think it happened that day. Because these guys were already living it. They were already wearing it. Just like many of the people in this room, it's not hard. You're already there. So when someone taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, we need some help. The only difference is, they went. You have the knowledge. You've got all the books put together. They didn't have hardly, at that point, I don't think they had any books put together. They had the Old Testament. They were living Christianity. And when they got the tap, they answered the call. VBS, 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 answer the call. Singing. They got more people out here who can sing good than you can imagine. I could probably get you more singers, Daryl, if I started singing. I say, okay, that's enough. We're going to answer the call. Camp. Just loving your neighbor. So anyways, Philip went. Well, then he ends up there, and I thought he was supposed to be waiting on tables. And this dude was probably single. Nope. Had four daughters. Anybody got four daughters? I had three. Or a handful. Okay. Did you still live your life or did you wait? Well, when I get them married and all off, then I'll start living for Jesus. No, you do it as you go. You take them along with you. They'll get so used to it, they'll be doing it themselves. So, he went. Then he ends up in Samaria. And I think he still waited on tables, but he was preaching and teaching because he just couldn't not do it. Because he was full of it. And then when he's there, he gets up against this witch doctor dude, which is just really spooky and crazy. And he did all these false miracles. But when the real deal came, even the witch doctor turned and came to Christ. That's the power of God. But then he gets the tap again. And this is the point I want to get to. I thought I said that a while ago. In Acts, the 26th chapter. If you haven't got your Bibles or your app open yet, please do it now. And get your pen out. There's some answers in here that just really took me a long time to learn the hard way. I'm going to share what I know to you, F-R-E-E. Because it was given to me, F-R-E-E. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. Amazing. God speaks and people move that are filled with the Spirit. Amazing. You need helpers for VBS. You shouldn't have to ask more than just now. You'd be overwhelmed at the end of this service. How do we do it? Can I take off work? It'd be one of the best things in your life you ever took off work for. Investing in young people. What was the name of the road? Help me. This keeps you awake. What was the name of the road? The Desert Road. I assume they called it the Desert Road, like Sealy Road. There's a bunch of Sealys live on Sealy Road. BB Road. There was a bunch of BBs that lived on BB Road. And the Desert Road, I don't think their last name was Desert, but it's a desert place. There's a bunch of sand out there and it's hot. From Jerusalem to Gaza, I'll help you out. 40 miles. How much could you travel on foot in a day? Jesus time. It's about 10 miles a day. A 4-day journey. When that God spoke to Ananias and said he wanted to talk to him to Saul, there was a big discussion back and forth. You know this Saul guy? And the neat thing with Philip is God just says, "Hey, go south on the desert road." Okay. I mean, he just goes. We need some help at camp. People just go and help. Listen to the voice of God. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace the queen. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and I underline that. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." I want to spend a little bit of time on he went to Jerusalem to worship. Every time I go to Detroit to get on an airplane, and Jeff's little heart, he wants to fly that big bird. It's just a funny, quirky thing about me. It's like, well, you know, tell the stewardess, you know, pilot gets tired, I got my ticket in my pocket. You know, I could just come up and give him a hand. I've flown over the pond before, you know, two-seater, 55 miles an hour. It's like, thank you. I don't think you qualify. Sometimes we want to do something. My friends are in San Francisco right now sharing in the Tenderloin, and in just the roughest place there is. We went over the San Francisco Bridge, and they showed me a picture. I'm like, man, dude, would I love to go there? Like the dirtiest jobs. I want to crawl down in the hole and go down in the basement. If I ever see the San Francisco Bridge, that's what I'm going to do. Don't think so. Well, I want to crawl up on top of it and, you know, look that. No, I don't think you're going to get to do that either. This guy heard about Jerusalem. He heard about the temple, and he wanted to go. I'm going to share with you, in my heart, I don't believe, I'm pretty confident he got rejected. I'm very confident he didn't get to go into the Holy of Holies. What do you think, Sherman? Am I on track? Yeah, only one guy got to go in there. Now, the holy place, I think you had to be a Jew. And if you have any defects, any bodily defects, like maybe if you were a eunuch, you didn't get to go either. So I think he went. Now, when he was there, whether he had the scroll before or whether he bought it when he was there, but he realized the Word of God speaks. He went to worship and he got rejected. Now, that's where I want to camp. Anybody here ever been hurt from church? You can raise your hand. And I have. The rest of you, wake up! Anybody out there ever been hurt because of church? Yeah. anybody hurt anybody when you were in church? Yeah. Yeah, I've hurt people. I'm sorry for that. So, the idea is the Word of God is bigger than us. He knew that. My dad was surely hurt by the Word of God, but he respected the Word of God. I mean, he was hurt by church, but he respected the Word of God. That Bible was something holy to him. We've hurt people in church. Church has hurt people. And we've got to be willing to stand up and say, I'm sorry. And sometimes we continue to do that. And I'll go to meddling, but there's a whole bunch of verses like in Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians about things not to do that you used to do when you lived in darkness. And now you live in the light and you're children of the light. We got to put to death those things. Gossip, slander. But the biggest one is hypocrisy. Isn't that what everybody cries about? Oh, I went to church, a bunch of hypocrites. And, well, come and sniff them out for us. We're getting used to them. But it's true. But in your golf league, is there not a bunch of hypocrites? At your job, is there not a bunch of hypocrites? At the fire department, is there not a bunch of hypocrites? At least we want to try to do something about it. And if you correct us, Lord willing, we'll accept that correction. So put to death the gossip. And sometimes we call prayer, but it's really gossip. Oh, did you hear about Susie? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I can't believe what she did. Oh, what did she do? Just stop it. Just take the chainsaw, cut it right off of the legs. If it were me, I'd just say, shut up, please. But that's kind of harsh. But I'm pretty passionate about gossip. I've had people in the church gossip about me and just really hurt me as I was trying to evangelize. It's like, just shut up. Get involved. But put gossip to death. Today, just say no more. Am I going to mask gossip with prayer? Just today, just say that's done. I'm done with it. If I'm going to pray, I'm going to close my heart, close my eyes, and give it to God. Or I'm going to go see that person and live in their life and try to help them through their brokenness. I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm going to get involved in their life and try to make their situation better. You'll put feet to your prayers. Try fasting and praying about someone that you want to gossip about. Enough said. But be careful, because a lot of people have come to this building and walked out rejected because we haven't showed them love. And I apologize for that. And there's people I've not showed love to. What about that prostitute? Oh, you mean the one that Jesus loves? What about the guy that's, you know, screwed up on back taxes? Oh, the one that Jesus loves? What about that doper? Oh, the one that Jesus loves? What about the guy who's in prison? Oh, the one that Jesus loves? How about that guy who used Jesus' name in vain all his life? Oh, the one that Jesus loved? We need to love as Jesus loved. So, he was reading in Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, go up to the chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. This is that lead-in. Do you understand what you're reading? So when you tell people, hey, I've been reading those five books of the Bible, a lot of times the response is, man, I tried that and I just got lost. That's the perfect lead-in for you. Hey, could I sit down and read it with you? Because a lot I still don't understand. Be honest. There's a lot of that stuff I still don't understand. But I want to share with you what I do know. That God loves me. That simple testimony, your story, when we went through that, everybody's story is different. There's a lot of people in here can share stuff I can't begin to share. How did God bring you through that? People want to know. And that's the message you've got to deliver to people. Dan really helped me out with this passage. I've been a Christian for many, many years and never got this. So the Ethiopian says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb before the shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Eunuch was a good question asker. I can look out there and see a couple of great question askers that I just always love to have a Bible study. One of them smiling at me right now. And if I wanted to start a new Bible study, I'd invite one of those people into my class. Because they would ask the questions everybody wants to ask. But I love you for that. Because when you ask those questions, like everybody else, like, oh, I'm glad somebody asked that question because I wanted to know. So this guy asks the question. And he says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? So Philip started at that very verse and he started to teach him about Jesus. He wanted to know, this person he's talking about, was it him or someone else? So he took that passage and shared the good news with him. And I would always say, well, he probably went and talked to him about all this stuff and then ended up talking about Jesus healing the blind and doing all the miracles. And then that Jesus went to the cross and died for his sin. And then Peter spoke on Pentecost and said, you know, you people put Jesus on the cross. And they cried out, what must we do? And he said, you have to repent and be baptized. And I think I missed a whole lot of the meat of the scripture. I think all that happened. But Isaiah 56, what we forget here is the scriptures were just a long scroll. And it wasn't chapters and verses. So if we can turn to Isaiah 56, which is just three chapters away from Isaiah 53, I'll get my math down, we'll see something that might have become very close to this eunuch. So he had just been to Jerusalem. He just got rejected because he was black and he was a eunuch. They didn't let him into the Holy of Holies. Now in Isaiah 56, three chapters from where he was. Sometimes if we just keep reading the word, our answers would come to us. Let no foreigner, was he a foreigner? Yeah, he was from Ethiopia. Let no foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not a eunuch, was he a eunuch? There's a lot of things in the Bible that are written just for us. And let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who chooses what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial. Inside the temple, inside the walls, you get a place. Better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name. They will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Amen. We need to know the Word of God well enough when someone has an issue that we can say, oh yeah, you're just like that Philippian jailer. You don't know much about the Bible, you haven't been to church. Just like that Philippian jailer. You know, when Paul and Silas were there, and the Roman jailer, and they were there at midnight singing, this guy didn't know hardly anything, but he knew what they had he wanted. And that's important. So I think when the Ethiopian read that, and Philip explained it to him, he was pretty excited. As they traveled along on the road, help me out again, what was the name of the road? Tell me one more time. And what's in the desert? Sand, desert, yeah. What's not in the desert? Thank you. So I'm sharing with somebody, and they have these, some of these things are like, when you want to share the Word of God with somebody, people just put their stupid hat on.
Well, can there be a rock so big God can't move it?
Last week I got the answer to that. You guys ever hear that question?
Can God make a rock so big? Can there a rock so big God can't move it?
You ever hear that? You ever hear the answer? I'm going to give you the answer. Yes! It's called your heart. You have a heart of stone. God can't move it, but you can. If you accept His love, it'll roll away. That rock so big that God can't move is called your heart. Because you've made it a heart of stone.
Well, what if you get, how could you get baptized in the desert, man? What if you were in the desert? Couldn't you just put a little water on your head?
And when I first heard that, I went, geez, I don't know. I kind of like, sorry, but you know, like in Michigan, you can go any 3 miles and find water, but I don't know about the desert thing. I come back and Andy's dad's like, well, Jeff, how'd it go? I'm like, oh, this guy said, what if you were in the desert? And I'm like, I don't know. I was just like, I didn't know what to say. And his dad was so great for me
He just took a pencil out and a paper and he wrote down Acts, the 8th chapter, 26th verse. And he gives it to me. He said, Jeff, go home and read that. He would, because I'd always argue with him. So Chris should hear this. He knew how to handle me. He'd just make me go read it. And Word of God speaks. And I was like, whoa, he's in the desert. They got to the desert and guess who provided the water? God. How big is your God? In the middle of the desert, he makes this, well, how much water was it? Well, let's find out what mode he used in baptism. And this will help you out. So they came to the water and he ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Well, it was big enough they went down into the pond. And when Philip baptized him, so he baptized him in the water, in the desert. They came out of the water and the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. Well, after all, baptism is just an outward sign of an inward faith. It's just a public confession. None of that's in the Bible. Baptism is where we surrender to God, where we die to that old way of life, that old way of hypocrisy, and we put on, we wear a new life. And you're buried to have that happen. Who did Philip pronounce to? Who was that public confession to? If that was the case, who did that Ethiopian have that public confession to? It was just Philip. Maybe a tender to the chariot. If that was the case, they would have said, well, when you get back to Gaza, and it's Easter Sunday, or Pentecost, and the whole family's together, we'll have a baptismal service. And then you can publicly confess. That's not what happened in the Scripture, people. Don't let people tell you any differently. It was a personal relationship. It was a marriage of the Ethiopian eunuch to Jesus Christ. It was a death of the Ethiopian eunuch to his old ways. And it was a new birth of a new man to where now the Ethiopian eunuch would be called a child of God. That's what happened there. So think about that. So he asked in verse 37, and that's a very important thing that we miss because sometimes it's at the bottom of your Bible. What doth hindereth me from being baptized? That could be a question to someone today. What's standing in my way? Why can't I be baptized today, right now? And he said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the official answered, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he baptized him. Okie doodle, eh? Okie doodle! Oh, there's so much more to say. I am going to say just a little bit, though. Just a little bit. When I was out to attend an Excelsior Church of Christ, my preacher out there was Ricky Whitehead. Rick Whitehead, Jr. Word of God speak. Rick taught in Romans, if your enemy's hungry, give him something to eat. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. The very next day, I was on an airplane going to Haiti to drill water wells. And you know, sometimes the preacher preaches and doesn't hit you till the next day. And it just, man, just loaded up on me like Word of God speak. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. A couple of people in the congregation here that was with me. I was like, man, I'm going to drill a water well. Who am I going to drill it for? Witch doctor. That googly crazy guy with the horns heads and just potions and all kinds of crazy stuff. So we went to his house and said, Emil, you need to get sober. Because Jesus is coming to your place tomorrow. We're going to drill you a water well. And he was all excited. And we'd been teaching his kids Jesus loves me. Had a couple of dry holes. And we put it right out front and we hit water. And for about 20 years, they had to thank Jesus for the water that came out of that. From the preaching of Rick Whitehead, Jr. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. And last year, his daughter Antonia was baptized into Jesus Christ. The witch doctor's daughter that was known by, she's the daughter of the witch doctor, has a new name, it's written down in glory, child of the one true king. Some plant. Ricky planted a seed in me. Some watered. Dave Babcock. Some others were right there hanging on to that little witch doctor while we were drilling a well and praying in the name of Jesus. Some watered and God adds his increase. Wear it. We'll be talking later on. What part do you have in this?
But this praying and fasting, pray for one. Start thinking about that. Each one of us are evangelists. We all do it differently. I can show you how I do it. I really have a difficult time telling you how I do it. We're going to show a quick video. My goodness, I'll go over, but I'll bite the bullet on it. I'm going to key this up real quick about Kenny G, Acts chapter, and turn it down a little bit. Anybody who loves Kenny G, can you get the volume just a little less? I want to talk over him, but play it. Yeah. I'm going to ruin it for you. Mitch Sachs and I went to a conference for work, As You Go. I said to Mitch, hey, what do you want to do when we get there? We could go swimming, we could go shoot skeet. We have free time later. When you're on business, you do business. But afterwards, it's your time. You have to respect your company. So Mitch says, how about we just study the Word of God every night? I'm like, yeah! And he asked me this question from Genesis. Where are you? And then he got to talk and he could shut me up anytime. Then the next day I got talking, I could shut him up. We did that 3 days. Well, the first day of the conference, a guy named Dennis comes up to me. Used to work with him at this big hospital in Western Michigan. And my life was a mess over there. I was always in agony and stress and just all kinds of stress. Always in the public relations department, somebody filing a grievance. It was just a tough time of my life. And this guy says, hey, I want to talk to you. I'm like, man, that's in my past. I don't want to talk about that. The next day he says, hey, Jeff, I really want to talk to you. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you know. And the third day, Mitch and I are loaded up. We checked out of the room. We're ready to go. And this guy says, hey, Jeff, can I talk to you? And I'm like, yeah, what is it, Dennis? He says, how do you get it? I said, what? He said, I want what you got. How do you get that peace? He's seen me walking. How do you get that peace? It was 5 years ago, and he was still hungry for it. Word of God, speak. I said to Mitch, not going anyplace. You might need a Snicker bar. So Mitch and I shared with this guy for a couple of hours. We go back to the motel because he said, what thus hinders me from being baptized? I said, just a place of water, man. I go into the desk clerk and I say, hey, we stayed here last night. Yeah, you're room 228. Yeah, yeah. I said, we didn't get to use the pool, and I really would like to use your pool. He's like, well, you kind of checked out. It's a little awkward, you know. And I'm like, yeah, but I need to use your pool. And he's like, well, what do you need to use my pool for? So I want to baptize somebody. And he's like, and the guy behind the counter's hearing all this. And second, he says, that's a good thing. See, God's already there. God's already there to help you out. You just have to be willing to go. So he gives us two keys, and I look at Mitch. And this guy is big. He's a lot bigger than me. And Mitch and I have our swimsuits, and he didn't. So picture this. I put on Mitch's swimsuit. This big guy that's got hair, he's one of these guys that got hair sticking on his arm, just rolling out his chest. He puts on my swimsuit. And we go to the pool. And so far, that's pretty normal. Except all these middle-aged women are doing water aerobics in the pool. And Kenny G is playing out. He's just belting out Forever in Love. And they got their little swim things, like the little orange and green little noodles, and they're doing all these motions. And Denny and I go down into the water, and I take his confession, and I baptize him. And when he comes up, what do? I hug him. So we're in these tight shorts, and two guys are hugging. Every one of those women just got up out of the pool. Well, sometimes, whenever I hear Kenny G, I just can't help but get that vision in my head. God can bring you some joy in all of this. And there's no greater victory, no greater joy in life than to be part of sharing God's love with somebody. There's no greater thing I would sooner do. Go to a World Series game or share the love of Christ with somebody who's broken and willing to receive it. I'd share that love of Christ. Go flying in the front seat of the 747 or share the love of Christ with someone who's broken and ready to receive it. I'd share the love of Christ. We have an eternal message to give, and eternity is in the balance. And all of us are uniquely gifted to share that with someone. So right now we can let Kenny, I mean that almost put you to sleep, but we'll put him to bed. Sorry if I ruined that. Send your hate mail to Andy for this whole message. KCC Wired. That was for Tim. If one of you have a need, we've got some prayer partners across the hall. If some of you are in some brokenness and you just can't seem to get your way out of it, we'd like to help you. If you have a hard time understanding the Word of God, so do I. I'd like to share with you what little bit I know about it. There's people here who want to love on you and help you. We're going to end the service right now. I'm going to have a prayer dismissal. But if you need some prayer, come on over. If you have a decision, if you're wondering what's holding me back from being baptized, just your love of Christ. This is eternal, people. We really need to get back into that loving people, not just talking about it. I can't tell you how to build this suit. I can take you in Canis, I'll show you. I have a hard time telling you how to love people, but I can go with you and show you. And that's really in my heart, and I mean that to any one of you. If you just want to go do it, right here in Kalkaska. You don't have to go across the street. Just right here, just loving on people. I'd be happy to show you. So let me pray. And then if you have a need, come on over. Isaiah said, God spoke, who will I send? Who will go? Isaiah said, here I am, send me. That's my hope for all of us. When we hear that voice of God, who's going to go to the neighbor? Who's going to go to my family member? Who's going to pray for Matt, the nephew? Here am I, send me. Who's going to give our enemy drink when they're thirsty? Here am I, send me. Who's going to love that broken person who's kind of messy? Who's going to take that vet down to Ann Arbor? And he's got a minivan the dogs live in. It's kind of dog dander. It's smelly. Here am I, send me. Let's pray. Oh God, you've called us to be your hands and feet. Just now, Lord, we pray on our heart that you'd send us. Equip us, Lord. But Lord, you equip those who you call. Help us to answer your call, Lord, whether it's camp or VBS or whatever, God. But help us to live out the life as we go, that we would share your love to others. And just help us to heal, Lord. There's some of us that just got to rebuild our own wall first. And Lord, just help us to know, too, that there's hope for us. And that you're always there and you're faithful, Lord. And you'll answer our prayers. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Go in peace. There's no music.